This week on the Beer Coasters podcast, we give you even more fruit beer. That's right, lambics with Lindemans, Samuel Adams, Bridgeport, and Timmermans.
Let's crack it.
We've all been kicked in the face by hops, too.
Less beer is not what I wanted to hear. Beer in one hand, smartphone in the other, you're never drinking alone.
This is not a science class.
Welcome
apples or cherries
to the Beer Coasters podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best and worst in American craft beer
and Belgian
beer. From coast to coast and parts of Belgium and everywhere in between, I'm your host this week. This is Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada, and joining me is...
And this is Chris in Dallas, Belgium.
And this is Mike in Boston, Massachusetts.
Sweet. So this week, we are trying some lambic beers. Lambics.
Lambic.
So if... you're going to have a fruit beer. These are the better of the fruit beers, in my opinion.
Oh, okay, Mike. All right.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
What?
Oh.
No spoilers.
And so...
I know. I'm just kidding.
For our fermentation conversation, we are going to be trying the Creek from Lindemans, which Lindemans is like one of the most popular brewers out there that do
lambics. I think lambics. Us Americans say... Crick.
Yeah.
We gonna drink this here crick.
Yeah. Down by the creek. We gonna drink some crick. Yeah.
That's like my, that would be my region.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, speaking of Chris and his region, Chris, what are you trying this week?
I don't want to talk about Chris's regions.
Chris's nether regions.
I am actually stealing from Belgium. Also, I am doing the...
Way out of his region.
Yeah, I'm doing the Timmermans Strawberry Lambic.
Ooh.
All right.
Strawberry.
How about you, Mike?
I am going to try something from the Sam Adams Barrelroom Collection, and it is called the American Creek.
Cool. And I will be trying the Stumptown Tart from Bridgeport. It's last year's... version, which is a framboise. So anyways, do we talk about the lambics before we head into the
I think we should ask the beer jargon guy about the lambics.
Yes,
he would know.
Oh, beer jargon guy,
only he would know.
And now time for craft beer jargon. For this week's beer jargon, the term is alambic. Alambic beer is a Belgian creation over 500 years old and is produced by spontaneous fermentation. It is exposed to the wild yeast and bacteria, and in this case of the fruit lambics, fruits are traditionally added after the wild yeast fermentation has started. Cherries, raspberries, peaches, and black currants are common fruits, but grape or strawberry, apple, banana, pineapple, apricot, plum, cloudberry, lemon, and blueberry are also used in more rare versions of the style. Malt and hop characters are generally low to allow the fruit to consume the palate. Alcohol content tends to be low as well.
Sweet, thanks, beer jargon guy. You the man.
Man, that's awesome. That's a lot of different fruits, man.
Yeah.
Lots.
Funny how we're still sticking with this fruity thing.
It's like New York.
Whoa. Whoa.
Sorry.
So yeah, we're sticking with fruit beers. I mean, this is like the summer of fruity stuff, you know, and we're glad Chris is joining us again this week for more fruity beers.
The summer of fruity stuff.
Yeah, that's It's what summer's all about, you know, fruity beers and whatever stuff that's
gay marriage.
All right, let's crack open this or let's get into this Lindemans here.
All right, let's do that.
This is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
Okay, so this is the Creek from Lindemans Breweries, or Brewery de Lindemans, out of
Defoiled.
So this is, they're out of Vlezenbeek, which is near Brussels, Belgium. They've been brewing since, well, this is like the eighth generation family that's been brewing here since 1809.
Here. We're in Belgium this week? Well, we're in Belgium this week?
In Vlezenbeek, Belgium.
Vlezenbeek.
And anyway, this particular creek has been brewed since the 1930s, I believe. So, yeah. Lindemans.com, Lindemans. This is a creek. It's coming in at, of course, I didn't have the ABV anywhere.
It is 4%.
Yeah.
4% ABV. You can get these in the 750 ml bottles.
Just like the Beer Jargon guy said, these kind of beers tend to be low ABVs.
Yes. And it's a malt beverage brewed with black cherries, which are added to the
Which I think a crick has to be the black cherries as far as
yeah, that's know, the
but
crick.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's go ahead and crack it, guys. This is capped and corked.
I just wanted to mention on mine that I actually have the 355 mil, which is just a 12-ounce bottle, but it's also capped and corked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so's mine.
I didn't know I don't think I've ever seen them that size.
Well, look, here it is. It just
wow, look at that. So cute.
Same thing, just smaller.
That's what she said.
Oh, mine's leaking already.
That's what she said.
Oh, you guys have already... I haven't even got my corkscrew in yet. And you're like, glug, glug, glug.
You slow.
That's what she said.
So I got about two fingers of pink frothy head.
All right, that's enough.
This is going to go on all day.
That one wasn't planned, I swear.
I got two fingers of pink.
Color is screaming for
cork in here.
Is a nice clear ruby red color.
Ruby red. I'll say.
Yeah.
It's freaking pink, and the head is pink.
Yeah, pink head. Nice and bubbly.
Ooh.
On the news.
There are some cherry notes coming off this guy.
Cherry notes. It's like a cherry symphony.
Oh, yeah, man. It smells like... like a cherry cough syrup.
It's a bit of, yeah, that's what I was going to say. It has a medicinal, it is like cherry cough syrup. That's perfect.
Gina's had this before, and she said out of all of the lambics that she's had, this was her favorite.
Huh.
And Lindemans does the peche, the frambois, the, like any of those fruits that the Beer Jargon guy mentioned before, Lindemans
does.
They
do most of them, yeah. The palm, yeah. There's a, what is it, a palm?
Yeah.
The apple one.
The apple one. Bunch. That's really all I'm getting. I mean, I can pick up on a bit of a sour note, like a sour skin.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's definitely some sourness in there. But there's very little beer to it.
Yeah.
You got it with that cough syrup, though. That's all I can smell right now. It's like a cherry.
Cherry. Or even the...
a cherry tussin.
Like cherry pie filling. How it's like extra sweet cherry.
All right, that's enough. I'm taking a drink.
All right, let's take a sip.
Taking a sip, yeah!
A little sweeter than I was expecting.
Very sweet.
It's very sweet and very sour. The thing that I like about it is that although you get a lot of that medicinal note on the nose...
on the aroma,
you don't get it in the taste. Because normally you would expect there to be like this sort of, you know... like coating back of your throat type thing.
Yeah.
And I don't get that at all, which is nice.
And the carbonation is very mellow too. Oh, yeah. It's not hardly carbonated really.
No, but it has really nice sour, it's like sour sweet. very lively, but not lively from the carbonation, but it's just like really lights up your mouth.
Yeah, it's almost like a sparkling juice kind of.
I gotta say, man, this is really good.
Yeah. If you like cherries, this is like super, like very this cherry. Is just freaking cherries.
It almost feels like a foreign concept on this show. Because it doesn't taste like a beer at all.
No.
Well, I think that's kind of the coolest thing about beer is that it, you know, beer is, there's such a wide range that's still considered beer. And these things are completely different from each other. You know, this compared to right. like an Imperial Russian Stout or a double IPA.
The interesting thing.
These are completely different beers.
With the frothiness. Because I really like the head on this because it has a really frothy yeah. kind of head, and mm-hmm. it really adds to the kind of texture and mouthfeel yeah. of it.
Yeah, you're right.
It makes it creamy.
You know how if you do like a fresh fruit, like blend up like fresh fruit juice, like from a juicer,
mm-hmm.
how it gets yeah. that sort of froth on it?
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is quite totally. A bit like that.
So speaking of blenders and fruit juices. And would you pair this with anything?
This is so sweet. It's got to be a dessert type beer, from at least for me.
Yeah.
This would be a good chocolate dessert beer.
Ooh, chocolate, yeah.
Like,
I was thinking vanilla.
Or even a deeper, richer, dark chocolate, like just a rich chocolate cake, you know, something like that would be good.
What,
that's
Chris?
That's what? Exactly what I was gonna say. Like a really deep, rich, dark chocolate cake is exactly would be perfect with this.
I would go either vanilla ice cream, or even like a. I'm not too familiar with a lot of the cheeses out there, but I think that if you had this with a cheese plate, it would be interesting. You know, like some really creamy cheeses. Mm. But something that was, I don't know, not the stinky cheese, you know, something that might even be on the sweeter side might work, but like cheese and fruit, you know, like if you're going to have like a cheese and fruit plate, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think, I actually think you would have to have something that was fairly, if you're going to go cheese, you'd have to pick something that was fairly pungent to be able to cut through yeah. this.
Even just, like a rich, yeah. Like dark, even like just chocolate. You know, just like chocolate pieces, I think would be good with this too. Kind of have, you know,
dark chocolate
break yeah. off a little bits of chocolate and have this beer too would be very nice.
Very nice. Real quick note about this beer. I guess there's a limited availability, and it used to use this Charbique's cherries. And just as to brew a less sour and more fruity lambic beer, they started brewing, they developed a unique alternative natural method using a pure cherry juice from unfrozen cherries. They don't say exactly what kind of cherries they're using now, but maybe because of the limited availability of those Charbique's cherries that they have to do this more like juice instead of like throwing the whole cherry in there with the pit and all that stuff. And it's blended with selected lambic of different ages. So like the Beer Jargon guy said, these are always blended from like previous aged lambics, and then more cherries are added and stuff like that.
Yeah, this is it's like, you know, it's but and usually what happens in the secondary fermenters when they add a lot of the fruits and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Real quick, Rate Beer gave this a 91 out of 100, B+ from the Beer Advocate users, and a B from the Ahlstrom Brothers.
How about them cherries?
How about them creeks?
Beer news from across the country, this is Hop Topics.
So, real quick... Where did I see this? Somebody posted it on Google+, I think, or maybe it was in Facebook. I'm not sure.
One of those Anyways, social networks. I don't know. One of them.
This actually comes from boston.com.
That's right.
And under the lifestyle section of Boston.com. Anheuser-Busch is trying to trademark area codes across the country. So if anybody's familiar with Goose Island out of Chicago, they've got a beer called the 312, 312, which is the Chicago area code. Now that Goose Island is owned by Anheuser-Busch, Anheuser-Busch thought, hey, this is a cool idea. Let's go around and start trademarking the area codes for beers. You know, we'll have a beer for every area code. What do you guys think?
I think it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, how would they be able to trademark area codes, you know?
But I mean, well, it's not necessarily, it's just in beer, you know what I mean? Like for as a beer label or as a beer name.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And but there's, I know there's other beers out there that are going to have that, you know, that same thing. It's a very kind of a, you know, urban thing to do, to have, you know,
yeah,
the area code names for different things. So
yeah, but by that same token, you know, I could easily see a clothing manufacturer do that. You know, it wouldn't be any different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only thing is that it would suck for a local brewery that wants to be cool and whatever and go, oh, hey, let's call it, you know, 702 because that's Vegas. And let's have a 702 beer and it'd be cool. Oh, we can't do that. Anheuser-Busch already took it.
Yeah, but the thing is, I would think, if anything, that the government would have ownership over that stuff, you know? But I don't know. I don't think it's a good idea, you know, for big companies to trademark
Nate
stuff
Dogg
like that.
Did it. Nate Dogg and Ludacris did it, didn't they?
Did they trademark? I mean, I know there's lots of things that are named, you know, after area codes, whether it's a, you know, clubs or, you know, like I said, in this case, you know, names of beer. You know, there's tattoo shops that have that. I mean, there's all kinds of different company names that use that, the you know, the 3-digit area code. But I don't know about trademarking.
I mean, I think it's fine. It's, you know, whatever. It's like any like any other name that exists for any product. I mean,
but it's the purpose of it. Just like, I think it's the same purpose as when they tried to, you know, do that Monster thing and kind of attacking everything else that had a Monster name. You know, I think this is Anheuser-Busch's reason for doing that, so they can kind of, you know, because once you trademark the stuff, you're legally obligated to basically to defend it, like, constantly. So it, I don't know. It seems like it's not a good move, in my opinion. But what do I know?
I think that it once they start doing that, it'll make it less special. You know what I mean? So it's like, it'll just be like some generic brand, where it'll probably be the same beer, just put under a different area code.
Yeah, yeah.
So the people in that area code can be like, oh, look, it's the 702 beer. Cool. It tastes just like the 312, and it tastes just like the 303.
Exactly.
You know, or whatever. But it's for that area, so it feels like, yeah, this is my local thing, whatever, so I'll drink it, you know. And that's the only thing, is it's just going to make the other people, like Goose Island, I mean, I don't know if it matters now that Goose Island is owned by AB, but like the other smaller breweries that may have an area code named beer, that it wouldn't be special anymore.
Right, and that doesn't just give the local feel anymore when some big company's got the, you know, the trademark on the area
generic
code, which is trying to make you feel more like a, you know, a more local community type.
Might as well slap a blue and white stripe across the bottle.
I don't know, because, you know, there's other companies do the same thing. BJ's does that. Rock Bottom does that. They'll go in there and they'll, wherever they open up a brew pub, they'll create beers named after local things. Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that, but the problem is when you know,
how's it any
you're
different?
Trying to trademark it so nobody else can do it, kind of thing, you know? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. I don't see it as any different. You know, like Rock Bottom has their, like, it's been so long, like the
stuff that's local to San Diego.
Yeah.
And then, or La Jolla, because they have a La Jolla brewery. And,
you know, and if anybody else tries to come out with a beer of the same name, I'm sure they would go after them and basically tell them to stop.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think it's that big a deal. I don't really like the area code name of a beer anyway. Area codes change
Yeah.
You know?
Makes you think of like a malt liquor or a 40 or something.
Exactly. Well, and that's right. That's the kind of almost stigma attached to that, which I don't even know if Anheuser-Busch realizes that. It's like, you know, using that whole area code thing. It's like, yeah, I'm in the, you know, like, yeah, I'm in the 617 up here. It's kind of a very urban kind of slang type thing, you know? So yeah. I don't know.
Anyway. Well, let's hear your opinions. Go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Hop Topics link, and give us your opinion on this story.
Hot Topics.
And, yeah. And we'll talk about it, and we'll see you next week.
And now, representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
All right. So, here we are in the middle of the country. The bastion of amazing fruit beers. Maybe not. This week I am trying.
Since the Leinenkugel's variety was tapped out in the fruit.
I'm sure you guys make a lambic, right? Right.
Leinenkugel's Creek.
For this week, I'm trying the Timmermans Strawberry Lambic, and this is Belgium's finest lambic beer.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah, that's what they say.
That's a bold statement.
It is a bold statement. So we'll see about that. This is from Timmermans Brewery in Belgium. And the style of this beer is a strawberry lambic. ABV is 4.0%. Yeah, that's about all I got as far as the information. Website
you don't
is
speak Dutch?
No.
You don't read Dutch?
No. AnthonyMartin.be is the website, but I went there and it's more just a marketing site than it is a beer website. I'm not even sure what they do there, but so I'm gonna crack this bitch open.
Is it capped and corked?
No, it's capped like it. And foiled. I went right through the foil. So, yeah, not pouring. Nearly the richness and color that the Lindemans had. It's actually got more of a golden color. This looks a lot more like a traditional beer. Now, granted, it's got like, I don't know, a Yeti hand worth of foam.
Damn!
That must fill the glass.
But it's like it's got
Yeti hand.
It's kind of a brownish gold in color with a slight hue of pink.
Interesting.
And I've got a bunch of head on here that really needs to simmer down.
Simmer down.
On the news.
It's a nice glass you got there.
Why? Thank you.
It's like a strawberry Laffy Taffy.
Ooh.
On the nose, like a very candy aroma, not like real strawberries, more like very artificial candy strawberries.
Yeah,
it actually smells kind of good. I'll be optimistic because I wasn't keen on the Lindemans either. So I'll take a sip or try to work my way through the foam anyway.
Taking a sip, yeah.
It's not bad.
Do the strawberries taste like strawberries?
Yeah, actually, it does kind of taste like strawberries. It's like a, you know, the when you make strawberry shortcake, and a lot of times the you can get like that jelly stuff that you can mix with the strawberry. That's not how we make it, but you can buy that stuff. It's kind of a gelatin strawberry stuff.
Yeah.
It tastes kind of like that.
Hmm.
It's not horrible tasting, but it does taste very artificial. It doesn't taste real. I'm betting that they don't use.
It's probably more of a strawberry syrup as opposed to.
It says malt beverage with natural flavors added. It tastes artificial, but I've never really had a strawberry lambic, so maybe once you mix it with the ingredients of a beer, it gets more artificial tasting.
Maybe. Are you getting any kind of like what we were talking about with the Lindemans? How it's. We're not. It's more of like a fruity yeastiness that we're getting, and less of like a malty beeriness. So there's none of that maltiness in there.
This one has a little bit more malt to it than the Lindemans did. Mm-hmm. Lindemans was more straight like, I don't know, no beer character whatsoever. This has a little bit more, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad. It's actually much better than I expected it to be. If I was going to pair this with something, it's strawberry shortcake. I mean, it would go really well with strawberry shortcake. It would complement it very nicely.
Now, is that strawberry shortcake with pound cake or angel food cake?
Pound cake.
All right.
Yeah. I used to do angel food cake. Now I do pound cake.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. Soaks it up better.
Yep. The angel food cake just kind of dissolves in the liquid.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the strawberry lambic from Timmermans.
And if you'd like the Beer Coasters recipes for strawberry shortcake. All right.
And the...
don't bother.
don't bother, yeah. Rate beer rating on this, they gave it a 35 out of 100. And the Beer Advocate users gave it a C. And nothing from the Allstrom Brothers.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
My tasting flight this week is Samuel Adams' American Creek. This is from their Barrel Room collection. For those of you who aren't familiar with that, they have three different beers, which I don't know why I just said that because I don't remember all three of them. I think one is called the Stony Brook Red.
Yeah.
And the other one is the New World Triple.
I think you're right, dude.
They have the American Creek, which is interesting because all of this Barrel Room series is mixed with what they're calling the Cosmic Mother Funk at the Sam Adams Brewery, and it's basically a wild ale that they've been barrel aging for like 6 months, and they'll blend a little bit of this Cosmic Mother Funk into this barrel series beer. So, anyway, this one in particular, the Creek, is from the Boston Beer Company. Their website is...
Sounds like a C.A. Jones song.
What does?
Cosmic Mother Funk.
Cosmic Mother Funk, yeah. Their nice. Website is www.samueladams.com. Actually, it's just samadams.com. You can get through that, get to them that way. The Sam Adams Brewery, I've probably mentioned this before, they actually own breweries in Cincinnati, Boston, Lehigh Valley, and they contract breweries. They contract different breweries in Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania, Tumwater, Washington, Rochester, New York, and La Crosse, Wisconsin. So Sam Adams is everywhere now. It is more
blowing
than
up.
The Boston Beer Company.
Why, they got 2 million barrels, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
The ABV on this beer is 7%. That's why it's the American Creek.
American.
I couldn't find the IBUs. I'll give you those ratings later. The interesting ingredients, they use the Balaton or Balaton cherries. I'm not quite sure how you pronounce it. These were a cherry that were originally from Hungary. And now they're grown in Michigan, and they actually have a trademark on that. The Balaton or Balaton cherries, actually, they have a trademark on these cherries in Michigan.
Wow.
The trademark malt they use...
Specially grown.
I know. Isn't that crazy? It's like... There's like a whole movie on that, isn't there? Like a documentary?
Yeah, I thought trademarking that was against the law.
Like patenting fruit or whatever. Anyway, seed patents and stuff. Malts, Two Row, Harrington, Metcalf, Copeland Pale Malts, Caramel 60, Munich 10, Special B. For hops, they use Hallertau, Middelfer, and Noble. And for the yeast strain, they use a Sam Adams Belgian Ale yeast strain. And also, like I mentioned, that Cosmic Mother Funk, which within the Cosmic Mother Funk, they use the Brettanomyces in there.
That's really strange how every time you say that, there's like that little funk riff that plays after it.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Well, very weird.
It is the Cosmic Mother Funk. This is a cork and cage configuration. I am uncaging, and now I am uncorking.
Open the cage.
Pull out the cord.
Open the cage.
Jesus.
Open the cage.
I might have
Put
to use
cork
my...
cork in the basket.
I might have to use the corkscrew just to get this thing out here. Kind of crazy. Jeez. Yeah, I'm gonna... Because this is, like, stuck in there pretty hard here, so...
That's what she said. Now that worked much better.
Okay, yeah.
There we go.
Look on his face as he was trying to pull it out.
Jesus.
That's what she
said. That was ridiculous. All right.
Glug, glug.
Seriously.
Yeah, I'm full. How big is that glass?
That's what we call a hyper sound here in the Beer Coasters podcast.
It has... It's not as ruby red as the Lindemans. I don't know if it possibly could be. But it does have a red, amberish...
Hue?
I guess it is. A very amber-looking ale. Nice head, I would say. A little more than a pinky finger. Maybe almost a finger. Or a Yeti fingernail.
Like a Yeti pinky.
Thinking like a fingernail. It's actually really hanging thick. Out pretty good.
Yeti fingernail.
It's a tan head.
Yetis have fingernails?
I actually got...
They always find hair.
Big ones.
But they've never found a nail.
Well, I'm thinking they've never actually
maybe he doesn't
found
clip
hair
them.
Either.
No.
Found footprints. Dude, we found fingers. So, come on.
Find them every week.
It's a measuring tool. Here on the Beer Coasters podcast.
It actually has a big apple aroma to it.
Just on a quick aside, I think it's really cool that our podcast has
we Italian now?
Yeah.
On a quick aside? Just on a quick aside.
As an aside.
Oh.
I think it's cool that our podcast has started to contribute to the lexicon of vocabulary for the beer world. When we see beer blogs that use Yeti finger in their descriptions.
Nice.
Yes. 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 Very nice.
By the way, if you get a chance, go check out the ocbeerblog.com.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Little OC beer blog plug. So I'm getting a little, besides the apple, I'm getting some cherries, of course, and some oak, kind of vanilla oakiness. It's weird because I'm thinking like a vanilla cherry is kind of making it smell like an apple to me. I gotta take a sip.
Taking a sip,
is not as big and bold of a beer as I thought it was going to be. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of malt. There's some tartness from the cherries and some like vanilla oakiness in there. But it's like they really, really tried to balance it all out so nothing was kind of too heavy over another. And for being, you know, 7% after just having a 4%, I'm not really getting, you know, much in the way of alcohol. Getting a really good rich malt character, some tartness there from the cherries. You know, I have to say, though, the aroma is quite a bit better than the flavor. I think I was hoping for more in the flavor. But it's kind of nice. I guess I was expecting it to be bigger. And I've tried that, the Stony Brook Red, before from the Barrel Collection. And it was more of a, I would say it's a bigger beer than this. It's kind of nice, though. Yeah, it's very...
Food pairing? Oh, sorry.
It's all right. The flavors are kind of bouncing back and forth. I like the tartness. I think if I were going to pair this with something, I think I've paired something with this particular food before. The chicken mole has got that kind of chocolatey sauce with the chicken that I think would go good with a cherry, you know, the cherry tartness. So yeah, I know. Pairing a creek with Mexican food is different, but... It just seemed like it'd be an interesting pairing to me. Yeah, if you get a chance, check it out. Beer Advocate rates this, the users rate this a B, and the Alster Brothers have not weighed in on this beer. Rate Beer rates this 77 out of 100. It is the American Crick by Samuel Adams.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Okay.
Okay.
This is Toby.
Okay, now.
For my lambic this week, I am trying the Stumptown Tart from Bridgeport Brewing Company. This is part of their Big Brews series, and they've done this lambic series about once a year. I think they started in 2008, and this one is actually from 2010, although it doesn't say anything on the bottle. They don't have any information about it on their website, so you have to kind of find it through blogs and through Beer Advocate and Rate Beer and stuff. They've done different types of lambics. This one is a framboise. I think this year they did a Marionberry, and I think a couple of years ago they did a strawberry.
Marionberry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So this one, Bridgeport Brewing, they're out of Portland, Oregon. They've been brewing since 1984, and I just found this out. They're previously known as the Columbia River Brewery, which I didn't know. They changed the name, don't know when, I think in the 90s. Anyway, this is a lambic / framboise, Bridgeport.
I changed my name in the 90s, too.
Bridgeportbrew.com is their website. Comes in at 7.70% ABV with 14 IBUs. I'm going to crack it. So, I don't know if the Beer Jargon guy mentioned this. I can't remember, but I think that lambics tend to not necessarily age, but they do tend to hang out for a while, you know, like you can actually cellar them for a decent amount of time and not worry about them going bad. Because I think it might have something to do with the fact that it's already been barrel aged, but I'm not sure. So it pours out very, it looks like honey. It's got like this amber, very light amber color. A golden amber color, a little bit of bubbles. I've dissipated all my head. It started, it fizzed up real
quick.
Where
did your head go?
And now I've just got a halo around. But yeah, a little bit of bubbles going on. Look at that golden color.
Golden. Wow.
The ingredients it uses is it's half-aged in oak barrels, and it's half-brewed with about 2,000 pounds of Oregon raspberries. It's aged for a year, and then it's blended with a triple. So that was another description that I think Rate Beer has this as a triple. Anyway, it uses German hops. The malts are...
Oh, yeah. When I didn't even mention my beer was considered a wild ale. It's silly because a wild ale with fruit is essentially what a lambic is. So.
Right.
It's funny that they classify mine as a lamb. And I wanted to do the Festina Piche from Dogfish Head, and that said it was a Berliner Weiss with fruit. So, yeah, this whole lambic thing, there's very fuzzy descriptions, I think, from different breweries.
So, yeah, on the nose, there is a berry. It's like it smells very sour.
I'm sorry. There's just spontaneous laughter for no reason. It's all because of Crazy Dave is...
Oh yes, we've now been joined by Crazy Dave on Google Hangout, right? And he's typing funny stuff. Yeah, real funny. There is a funkiness that I'm picking up on, and I want to say it's almost like plasticky.
Berry. We talk about that. Yet? What kind of berry?
I'm gonna take a sip.
It's snozzberries, man. I'm telling you, that's what it is. Although Crazy Dave says dingleberries, apparently. Wrong berry.
Crazy Dave is a bit of a connoisseur when it comes to dingleberries.
Yes.
That's why he likes wine so much.
Yeah, I don't know about this. This is there's a It's almost like an apple mealiness.
It's weird because I got apple in mine too. And yours is supposed to be, what, raspberry? And mine was cherry?
Yeah.
Freaking apples.
There is a little bit of sweetness. There's a little bit of a dry bitterness. Almost like a seed, you know, when you bite into like a berry seed, you know, like a blackberry seed or a raspberry seed, I guess. There's that little bit of pithiness.
Like a piney hop, like maybe no. Like a hoppiness?
No. Yeah. I was taking a shot in the dark there. I was hoping one of us would get some sort of
horse blanket
flavor out of these things.
Horse blanket is can be something you would find in one of these wild beers, but...
Bacteria.
It leaves a little bit of stickiness on the tongue. Yeah, I'm afraid this might be bad. I mean, I have zero head on it, and it's there's really no carbonation going on. There's a little bit of carbonation going on. I'll have to give some more stuff in last call. I don't know about a food pairing. Maybe some sort of a salad. Like maybe like a roast chicken salad or something like that. But
roast salad.
Yeah, there's something chicken. I don't think that there's something wrong with this beer right now, in my opinion. But I'll have a little few more sips and I'll get back to everybody last call. Yeah. So that's the Stumptown Tart, the Frambois from Bridgeport Brewing Company, Portland, Oregon. Oh, right. It got a 58 from Rate Beer and a B- from the Beer Advocate users.
It's the tweet of the week. Tweet of the week. It's the tweet of the week. Tweet, tweet. Tweet of the week, yeah.
BB13 Live Updates says, Danny got some unicorns, almonds, fruit, veggies, beer, ice cream, cool whip, etc. Danny is giving Lawan the robe to wear.
Tweet, tweet. Tweet of the week, yeah.
Time for some backwash. Let's check the Beer Coasters email and hotline.
Okay, so backwash this week. We got everything from Crazy Dave.
Yes, we do.
Who's actually joining us right now on a Google Hangout.
Sort of.
Sort of. Yeah, he can see us.
But he can't hear
and
us.
And we can type to or him, but he can't
hear
us.
He can hear us, but he can't talk back to us.
First part of Crazy Dave's backwash. Chris, you take it.
All right. First backwash that we got from Crazy Dave. Goes like this. The restaurant mentioned in the podcast, Rosemary's, is closed. Unhappy face. Damn it, I really wanted to go to it. Also, I know that it wasn't supposed... I know that I wasn't supposed to respond to this. I'm not too sure about Mike's description of carbonation. My theory on beer/wine pairing is that the libation should enhance and complement the flavors of the food and offer a lingering finish. I would hope that drink wouldn't cleanse the palate. I think there are other things to do that, water, crackers, etc. You want to take issue with that, Mike?
Crackers.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a valid opinion. I just disagree. I think that you know, the beer's carbonation cleanses the palate, and it's a good thing for food. I also think that the beer has kind of a bigger or like wider range of variety of flavors. Than wine, period, you know? And I think that's why it goes better with food. It's just my opinion. I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong. I just, you know, and we talked about books on the Father's Day thing with the Garrett Oliver. He says those exact same things, whereas he's even had, like, taste tests where he'd have dinners and purposely put people that are wine drinkers in there, and they'd have kind of, not necessarily a contest, but... They would ask people what they thought went better with the food, and overwhelmingly more people picked beer. And I just think that's the reason. I think that, you know, that carbonation plays a big factor in it, and that beer has a wider range of flavors. So I think it's easier to
pair certain things or pair foods with certain beers.
Well, I think Crazy Dave, what he was getting at was the whole cleansing part. And what I think what I think the carbonation thing is that it's not necessarily cleansing your palate, but it's helping to lift certain fatty things off of your tongue. And it's not really cleaning your tongue. It's more of like helping to wash away certain things that may be left behind that could affect how the rest of your meal.
Well, it's that, and it also opens up your taste buds. It kind of...
Yeah,
it livens up your mouth and gets everything kind of flowing, basically.
Right, it's not necessarily cleansing it like you would with, like, say a bubbly water, you know, where the water is really cleansing your palate and the carbonation is lifting everything off of your tongue at the same time. So I think that's what Crazy Dave was getting at. But
all right.
Anyway, it's just a choice of words, dude. But I know what you're saying, Mike. I'm with you on that as far as, like, food pairing and all
it's,
that.
It's interesting, and it's tough now to kind of...
Of course.
...have, you know, talks about that, too, because a lot of things... There's so much that has changed in the craft beer industry compared to what's happened with wine, you know? So there's all these great craft beers now that are so much different than what, you know, beer used to be. So I just think there's a big variety there that's that goes well with food. Anyway, we got some more backwash from Crazy Dave. He talked about we talked about table taps. It was a few shows ago, in different places. He says that Kirlarney's offers table taps. Each table has two taps and seats about four people, and you prepay for the beers, which I think most of the places do this. They have this prepay type system, and where you pay for the beers ahead, and then you kind of pour your own at the table.
I missed this show.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't hear anything. What exactly is going on here?
Table taps. There are bars now that have essentially taps at your table. So you actually go. You'll pay for, say, this is how many people we have, and or how many beers according to the bar, I guess. And you sit down, and there's taps right at your table, so you just kind of pour your own beers.
So is it like an all-you-can-drink situation?
Well, not necessarily all-you-can-drink, because you're kind of paying. I mean, you're kind of paying for it, but...
I know, but if you pay, you know, the whatever it is, $50 or whatever, I mean, I'm sure it's not that high, but you sit down, you pay the $50, and then you can sit there as long as you want and drink as much as you want.
I don't know. Like, it sounds like what Crazy Dave's saying here is at Killarney's you pay, you know, you prepay for the beers. So maybe it's like how many you have.
But then how do they keep track of that?
Yeah, that's what I'm not really sure. Because
some of them have like a digital readout thing to where it actually measures how much beer you pour. So every pint, you know, whatever, 14, 16 ounces, every time you pour it, the little ticker goes by and it marks how much you actually are pouring. So it keeps track of how much you pour. It doesn't, you just can't sit there, and there's no honor system where you just pour and pour and say, oh yeah, we drank $50 worth, even though you drank half a keg. Right. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. And then,
anyway, I was going to ask Crazy Dave where Killarney's is. I think he's talking about the place that's in Temecula, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, there is one in Temecula, so I'm sure that's where he's talking.
Well, that's pretty cool that they've got table taps there, because it seems like such a new, rare thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've never even heard of it before.
Yeah, it's a cool concept. I wonder, like, what, you know, the variety, like, just the cost and then the variety of beers that would actually be at your table. Like I said, I don't know if it's the type of place where, oh, I want to sit at table four because it has, you know, an IPA and a few different things that I like, as opposed to, you know, this is what we have at the table taps, like a little table tap type menu, you know?
And before we hit up last call, here's one more thing from Crazy Dave. He drunk dialed us. Awesome.
Our favorite.
Listen in.
Wish more people would drunk dial us.
Beer posters. Crazy Dave, it's about midnight my time. I'm just calling to say what up. This is a drunk dial. I was kicking it at Barley and Hops in Temecula. I had an Ale Smith Speedway Stout. I had Dogfish Head 90-Minute IPA. and a young double chocolate stout, and a bunch of tasters of all kinds of Hefs. They had some sort of Hefeweizen week or something like that. Anyhow, I'm just calling to say what up, give you guys a call, and all that good shit, and keep it drinking. Like,
last call. All right, here we are. You've all been waiting for the last call section of Beer Coasters Show to end. So, pint ratings, Chris.
Yes.
What you got?
Oh. Pint ratings. So the Lindeman's Creek,
Crick in your parts.
Crick. Sounds like you get something.
I was very, very surprised with this alcoholic beverage. Or
it's
malt
a beer.
Beverage.
I know you don't want to call it that, but it is still a beer.
Yeah, it's a beer. It just doesn't taste like one. And actually, I'm going to call it what they call it here in Texas, and that's a malt beverage. Yeah, I really liked it a lot. I thought it was really good. It was really flavorful. It had some really nice natural cherry flavors that I wasn't expecting. I was expecting it to be a lot more artificial tasting, and it wasn't.
Because nobody wants those silicone cherries in their beers.
That's right.
You want them chartreux or whatever those are called.
God, I don't know what to give this. I really...
Sharp beaks cherries?
Charbeaks?
I think I'm going to give it 4.5.
Woo!
I was teetering on the 5, but...
Yeah, yeah.
And really? I'm not sure why I'm holding it back. I think it's just because it's...
Not beer?
No, I'm going to... Yeah. Now, you know what? For the style that it is, and I really enjoyed it a lot, I'm going to give it a 5.
There you go.
Yeah. It's really good. It's really tasty, so... 5 for the Lindemans. For the Timmermans. Strawberry Lambic. Not so much. Yeah, the things that I really liked about the Lindemans, that it was missing that medicinal sort of artificiality, is exactly what I got in the Timmermans. So what I was expecting to get in the style as a whole is exactly what I got in Timmermans, and so I wasn't very happy with it. I'm going to go with 2.5.
All right. Mike, what about you?
Well, for me, with the Lindemans, it wasn't what I expected it to be. It was a little sweet for me, but besides that, I liked it. It's strange, because I know Chris doesn't want to call it a beer. It's because there's no hop character. There's no malt character. You know, it's all cherries. And it was just a little too sweet for me. I'm going to give it a 4. I really liked it. It's very different. And I'm curious to try some of these other flavors. I've had a few from Lindemans. You know, the Frambois and the... What was it? The Kessies. I've had a couple from them. But that's my rating for that. On the Sam Adams, the American Crick.
Crick.
It's American Crick. Interesting beer. It's almost like they went a little too far to kind of balance this, and everything is kind of played down just a little bit too much for me. I wanted this to be a bigger beer, and it wasn't. I'm giving this one a 3.5. It's a very drinkable beer, and I liked it. I liked the flavors. There's some complexity in there too that was interesting, just not big enough for me. I wanted it to be bigger. So that's my rating for that.
Yeah, for the Lindemans, for me, I'm right there with you, Chris. But for some reason, I can't go a full 5 pints. It's absolutely delicious. I mean, it's. If you like cherries, this is great. And And I didn't really know what to expect. I mean, Gina told me before that she really enjoyed this one. This was her favorite that she tried of the Lambics. And it's
4 years ago.
Really, yeah. it's really good. And I would drink this again. And I would give this to people who are non-beer drinkers. You know, if you like wine, if you like champagne, or if you like sparkling wine or something like that, these are awesome. You know,
it's a great beer to give to somebody to let them. It's like, no, this is beer too. Check it out. Yeah. Try this.
Yeah.
And they're gonna be like, what? This is beer? No way. But it is.
That's funny. That's exactly what we said.
Yeah. So I'm going to go 4.5. And I think the main reason why I'm not going full 5 is because I haven't had enough in the... Not enough Lambics, but not enough Creeks. I mean, this might even be my first Creek that I know of having, you know. And it's outstanding. So that's the only reason why I'm holding back on the full 5.
You want to go a full 5 on your first.
That's right. I want to want more, you know.
That's why you give them. That's why you give them the 4.5. Is that way? They're always wanting more.
Right. Anyway.
Hold a little back.
Not perfect, but still awesome.
The Bridgeport Stumptown Tart. I don't know if this has gone bad. I'm hoping it's. I mean, I'm hoping that it is now that, you know, I did get some of the sediment in the glass, and it did give me a little bit more of the tartness and a little bit more of the fruitiness, and it still didn't really taste like raspberries to me for some reason. It's weird. There is a definite some berries in there, but it may have just passed its prime. I mean, I know it's about a year old, and I did say how these should be able to hold up, and I have had it cellared very well for the past year, but I don't know, man. I mean, I'm gonna have to go with like a 2.5. It's
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm hoping that there's something wrong with it, I love Bridgeport. I love everything that I've had from them. This is like the first Bridgeport beer that I've had that has not been, you know, stellar.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that it's has passed its prime, but I did look on Beer Advocate, and there were people that were rating this beer as of 2 months ago. So I didn't see what their ratings were, but anyway, yeah, 2.5 Bridgeport Stumptown Tart, the Frambois, because they do make other ones. So yeah, moving on. Thank you guys for your pint ratings. We all appreciate it.
And you can
follow the Beer Coasters on Twitter. We're also on Facebook. We are on Untappd. You got a mobile device, or even go to the website, like Chris says. Go to the website. And if you're on your computer, you can do it there.
Or go to Google Plus.
Google Plus. Oh, that's, we got to add that on there. Yes, Google Plus as well.
Yeah.
Come and hang out with us sometime.
Like Crazy Dave did this week.
Like Crazy Dave did this week. Nice. We're...
Well, but we recommend that you do wear a shirt, unless you're one of the female listeners. But.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to limit that completely.
You can subscribe to the show in iTunes, and we're also available on podcast.com.
This would be the greatest show ever if we had topless female listeners.
That'd be fantastic.
This show would be amazing.
Hint, hint.
And don't forget to go to our website and check out our stuff on there.
What kind of website is it?
It's a fruity-licious website.
It is this week.
You can find that at beercoasterspodcast.com.
Right?
I should say this month. We've done lots of fruity beers in the past few weeks.
Sour and fruity and berry and oh my.
And backwash. Don't forget, there's several ways you can leave us backwash. You can email us backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com or call us at 339-BACKWASH. That's 339-225-9274. Backwash without the C. You can also go onto the website and place comments on any of the episodes. Underneath each episode, you can go in and comment on it, like Dave did with this week's show.
Yeah.
And don't forget, on the website, you can also click on our shop link where you can get your Beer Coaster swag.
Crazy Dave's typos, man. He's got... Nice. I dirk dialed your asses the other day. I commented all over the place.
I think he meant to put... I guess he did.
I meant to do that.
Yeah. Nice. Well, tell your friends...
I'm cutting that part
And tell your friends' friends. And tell your friends' friends' friends. Or tell them to tell friends about us. Thanks for listeners. Thanks for listeners?
Thanks for listeners.
Thanks for listeners.
Thanks for listening, listeners.
Now, if you tell your friends' friends, then we're also thanking you for the listeners.
Yes,
so.
That's true.
Yeah. Thanks for our listenership.
Yes.
Or your listener.
Thanks for listening to us.
Thanks
up.
For your listener ability.
Welcome to the train wreck that is the Beer Coasters podcast.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Aces and Ales, premium craft beer bar in Las Vegas, Nevada. With happy hours from 3 to 6 p.m. every day. With an additional happy hour from Monday through Friday from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. That's 50% off all appetizers and selective craft beers. Aces and Ales, wide variety of craft beer on draft and bottles. Make sure you stop by www.beercoasterspodcast.com to print out your free pint coupon. That's Aces and Ales, 3740 South Nellis Boulevard, East Side, Las Vegas, Nevada. All killer, no filler.
Cool, and just like Aces and Ales, we would like you to support your local brewery and your brew pub, etc. Drink local. Oh, wait a minute. What's coming up at Aces and Ales? Oh, Aces and Ales, August 12th through the 14th.
Oh, my goodness.
Second annual Strong Beer Festival. It's going to be awesome. It's like $15. You get a special glass. It's like $4 a taste after your first free taste. They got 80-plus beers, all strong beers. So check it out. And they're also doing Christmas in July on July 30th. At Aces and Ales. They're going to have Celebration on tap. They're going to have Sammy Claus. It's awesome, dude. Christmas in July at Aces and Ales in Las Vegas, Nevada. Check it out. Check them out. AcesandAles.com. Sweetness.
And as always, don't drink and drive, because that's just dumb.
A reminder to all you listeners out there, this is your show. We're just drinking in it. Cheers.
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 Oh, wait, where's the glasses?
Oh. I got it.
I want to give a shout out to Alchemy Bistro. I untapped some stuff and they responded via Twitter and let me know like some of the stuff they had on tap, and just cool, kind of made a little connection there. So thanks, Alchemy Bistro.
And a quick shout out to the OC Beer Blog, baby.
Yeah. Nice. Great post on. Chris, you might want to talk a little bit about it, the whole drinking in Disneyland thing.
Yes, that's awesome.
So Greg is the one that runs the OC Beer Blog over there, and he knew that I was going to San Diego, or not to San Diego, to Disneyland. Well, I'm going to San Diego too, but to Disneyland here shortly. And so he posted a little post about
for those
drinking.
Of you who don't know, Disneyland is in the OC.
Right. And Disneyland is actually dry, but Disney's California Adventure has a few different beer spots, and he pointed them out for us. Yeah, they've added a couple.
No, right. Not just the Carl Strauss beer trip. I'm just repeating what Dave's saying, so it actually sounds like Chris is going to have a conversation with
with somebody other than myself. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. He's got a little map and everything. It's awesome.
It's pretty
good job.
Cool. Very, very
Greg
nice post.
At the OC Beer Blog. All right, see you guys next week. Thanks for hanging.
And we promise next week, no fruit.
That's right.
Unless Dave finally figures out his shit and joins us. Then we'll have a fruit.
Right. Cheers.
Cheers again.
Next week, right here on Rear Coasters.
Damn, fool, how big is that glass?
Man, that's a lot of different fruits, man.
I got two fingers of pink, and that was just screaming for it.